Good morning, everyone. I'm Albert Lin from Hollywood House Church, and today it's my privilege to be leading this morning's EMP. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me watch out for people who are trying to lead others into religiosity and a Pharisaical way of thinking. Help me resist condemnation from others by the enemy, and teach me daily to walk in the Spirit. Fill me now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So today we'll be watching a video that takes us through Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 26.
Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village."
So throughout Mark's gospel, the disciples are portrayed as people who are slow to understand Jesus' identity and its implications for their lives. The disciples forget to bring the bread with them, and so Jesus warns them about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod in verses 14 to 15. But what does this mean? A small amount of yeast has the ability to ferment a large batch of dough. The Pharisees and Herod were self-reliant people and did not look to God in faith for provision. If the disciples weren't careful, they would become just like the Pharisees and Herod. Understanding Jesus' identity means that you believe that he is the all-powerful Son of God and rely upon him alone, not yourself. I'm going to read today's passage from Romans 8, verses 1 to 11, Life in the Spirit. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I'm going to share a little personal devotion about this passage. For most of my Christian life, being a Christian meant that my job was to be perfect. I knew what the fundamentals were, that I had to be given God's, that I had been given God's forgiveness, and I already had my ticket to eternal life. And that between now and the time I died, my job would be to do everything humanly possible to be sinless and perfect. My mission in life was to eradicate sin from my life and live as biblically as I could. In theory, this all sounded great, but I found myself operating in a very legalistic way. My relationship with God depended on how much I sinned or did not sin. Every sin would take me further away from God, and by not sinning, I would be closer to God. This way of thinking, however, caused a lot of guilt and frustration in my life, because the truth was that this so-called sinless life was not achievable by anyone but Jesus. The real problem with this way of living, however, was that I was only focused on the word I. I would one day achieve perfection. I was able to rid myself of sin. I was able to stay holy by my own strength and ultimately try to be a Christian without the Spirit of God in me. In verses 10 and 11, it says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." This meant that God knew that my need as a sinner was so great that it was not enough for him just to forgive me. He had to come and live inside me, or I would not be what I had been recreated to be, or do what I had been reborn to do. So as author Paul Tripp so eloquently puts it, I need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit living inside me, because sin kidnaps the desires of my heart, blinds my eyes, and weakens my knees. My problem is not just the guilt of sin, it's the inability of sin as well. So God graces his children with a convicting, sight-giving, desire-producing, and strength-affording presence of the Spirit. As Thaddeus leads us into a time of worship, I'd just like us to reflect on our need for the Spirit of Christ to work within us and what that means.
Fresh on me, fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my need. Only you can make me whole. Give me strength to make me grow. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me. Only you can make me whole. Give me strength to make me grow. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me. Come, Holy Spirit. All afresh on me.
Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for preschools, kindergartens, and junior schools. We pray that values and habits acquired during these formative years will be godly and will build them in true spirit maturity. Bless our Sunday school and children's ministry leaders with wisdom, patience, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us spend some time praying for our community, for those dealing with cancer, continue to pray for those dealing with other illnesses and also salvation in our community. Pray for those dealing with infirmities. Let's pray for those looking for jobs. Let's pray for our daily prayers. Let's start out with the mission focus. Pray for China, SP Beijing, SP Shanghai, Chong's churches. Let us continue to pray for our board, for their protection, pray for their unity. Pray that they would be led by your Spirit every single day. Let's pray for fellowship, for young adults ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry. Let's pray for SP 2.0, Building Resources Benefactors Vision Fund. Let's pray for all the house churches meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Fortress, Happier Valley, Edo, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, Ventris, and West. Pray that they would be able to go deep, experience you together, and be examples of love to our city. And lastly, let's pray for our city, Hong Kong, its government, wisdom for its leadership, revival in our city, the COVID cases to decrease, and those in need of help. Pray for everyone in need of help, and also that your name would reign in our city. Let me close us all with a prayer this morning. Dear Lord, as we rise to meet each new day, please let us be filled with your Spirit. Wherever we go, let us spread love, joy, peace, goodness, and faithfulness. Let us desire to become more like you and to worship you in all we do. Help us desire these things so much more than the sin that entices us. Thank you for always going before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining and wishing everyone a great day ahead.